Trainor.
Yo, this is Justin B. Bieber.
Hey, it's Ariana Grande. Just the Interviews, a Zach Sang Show exclusive podcast.
Okay, it is a Zach Sang Show. Sadly, Heather is missing, but Dan is here.
Hooray!
And Connor Frantz is here. Come on.
Look at that applause. I live.
Yes.
Look at that.
Note to Self is a brand new book, and I kind of stole it from you when you walked in with it.
Yeah, you were attracted to it.
It's beautiful.
Thank you so much.
I mean, let's talk about the process of creating this, because this doesn't just appear. Like,
no. I was talking to my little brother about it last night. I go on walks at night, and then I usually call like a family member per night. And last night was my little brother's night.
Why are walks like the best time to catch up with family members?
I can't stand still, first of all.
Yeah.
So second of all, I just figured I might as well exercise while I'm doing it. But
Do you really think that it's exercise?
I walk like 5 miles when I do it. I talk to them for like an hour.
I do the same thing, but then I have to convince my friends that I'm actually exercising because they think it's all bull squash. But anyway, you were talking to your brother about the book.
Yes. So, a lot goes into, if you are like me, I have like an eye for design. So down to like the fonts, the photo, the thickness of the paper, the texture of the cover, I, you know, handpicked all of that.
Everything, so, you thought of everything.
Yeah. And then obviously I wrote the book as well. So, but yeah, a lot goes into it. And I wanted to make sure the book was as pretty as the words on the inside.
So when you start a book like this... Where do you start? How do you start?
This one actually was different from my first one. This one I started accidentally. It's called Note to Self because essentially the notes inside the essays and the poetry were all written for myself. Okay. It was just like me typing out notes along the past like 16 months of my life and writing essays. And then all of a sudden I realized that I kind of had written like half a book in my notes on my phone.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
so
then
like a journal?
Yeah, in a weird way. But I expanded on it, so it's okay. More, there's a lot more depth to it than the notes on my phone.
And are you taking these notes as the day's going, or are you like living your day, going home, and taking an hour and processing
as
everything?
As it's going. There
are
frequent times where I would just like stop what I was doing quickly and then start typing something out. Even like during a movie, I would like quickly get out my phone just to like type something down that inspired me from the movie, and then I'd reflect on it later.
And that can be heavy. I mean, when you're going back on those thoughts, like that's a lot to go through and sift through.
Yeah, it's funny to look back at it now because I was so angsty 12 months ago, or I was so like emotional 8 months ago, or super happy 6 months. Like, it's really interesting to look back because all the dates and times are there, and half of them aren't edited. And just to see what I was like at certain periods over the past 18 months.
And are you using a ghostwriter here, or is it just you?
It's just me. From the first book to this one, I was like, if I'm going to do a book, I really want to do it myself.
How are you getting the motivation to sit down and like type this out? Like, is that challenging?
As soon as I signed on to do the book and it was official that I was writing a book, it at times would feel like schoolwork because you have deadlines. Like, you have certain things you have to meet at certain times. So I had to remind myself that it was fun and it was supposed to be creative. But like with dates in your calendar, you're like, this feels like school.
Yeah, you're adding stress to the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm out of school, but I feel like I'm in school again.
And then there's none of the good things that come with school.
Yeah, that's
other
true.
People.
Yeah.
It's just you alone in your house.
I know.
Like figuring it out.
And there's no guidelines. Like, you can do whatever you want, which is great, but I'm also a little bit type A, so I kind of need...
You need something.
Yeah, I did hire... So I have... every author has editors, so I have an editor at Simon Schuster, but I hired a special one here to basically just keep me in check.
Yeah.
He was pretty much my mom being like, have you done another chapter today? I'm like, yes, Steve, I'm working on it.
So how long did it take to put this whole book together from start to finish?
About 16 months.
Wow.
That's a long time.
But it's also really quick for books.
And what's the hardest part about it?
Writing it.
Yeah, well, duh.
I don't know. Maybe
putting pen to paper.
Maybe the writing came easier and the design was harder.
No, I get you. I definitely spent a lot of time on the design, but definitely just writing and getting the words on paper, and more so expanding on things is difficult because it's kind of hard. The book is 312 pages or something. It's hard to expand on thoughts that you have beyond like 2 pages, and I always found that difficult in school too. That to get beyond like 500 words.
Then why go so long? Why go 300 pages?
That's true. I know it wasn't the 300 pages, more just like the individual topics. So a lot of the topics are only 5 to max 10 pages, but they're only, a lot of them are like 5 pages.
If you could tell the story in 3 pages or 2 pages.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to 10.
Exactly. And that's what I had a battle with my editors, because they're like, you should really expand here. I'm like, but there's nothing to expand on. That is it.
But I also feel like that's the millennial generation a little bit.
It is.
We're
100%.
Used to 150 characters.
And also, I know, obviously, the stories firsthand, so sometimes I forget that people don't know certain details, or they don't know the thought process leading up to it, and I have to simplify it. It's like when you... If you're a carpenter, you just forget that people don't know how to hammer nails into wood because they don't do it themselves. Yeah, you just do it. So you have to remember too. This is the weirdest analogy in the world. You have to remember that people don't know how to do that, so you have to expand on it.
Well, which came easier, writing or design for this book?
They both were pretty easy. I mean, like, they both flowed out in a different way than the first one. The first one was way more reflective, and I had to look back. It was a memoir, so I had to look back essentially on my 22 years of existence at the time. So that was a little bit difficult to kind of search.
Which, by the way, like,
past.
That's a weird thing to do at 22.
Isn't it hilarious? But, I mean, like, it's ironic, and I also, like, the first chapter kind of pokes fun at me for doing that.
But I also feel, like, very therapeutic and kind of helps you move on for the future.
100%. And I also wrote it at that time because I figure 16 to kind of probably like 25, 24, those are the most influential years of your entire life. Okay. So I felt like that was important to me personally. Yeah, to reflect on.
And I think a lot of the people who would think, you know, writing a memoir at 22 is ridiculous are the people who just go, you're young. You haven't seen anything
I'm
yet.
I'm like, no, I haven't seen anything. I say that in the book.
But I also think, like what you said, we're sponges at that age. A lot of things that are happening to us, you know, before the age of 22 are things and traits that kind of stick with us forever.
100%,
you know?
Yeah.
So you figure out who you are, or at least, like, the shell of who you are, and then you, at least from my opinion, you fill it in as you go.
No, definitely. And I may not know the final answer, but I know steps 1 through 3, and there's an infinite amount of steps to get to that final answer. But it's important to get to steps 1 through 3.
Beautifully said.
Wait, so is
kind
the book...
A little choppily said.
Is the book personal stories, fiction... Like, what exactly
personal.
Is...
Personal.
It's all personal.
It's all personal. There are... So there's a lot of poetry in it, which I've never... I tweet poetry pretty frequently. I just enjoy alliteration and wordplay and internal rhyme. Kind of like, I'm assuming, what it's like to be a musician without vocals. So I wanted to kind of put that in there. So some of those stories, the poetry is kind of fictional at times. Or very metaphorical.
Cool.
And
it's such like a, I consider it truly an art piece. I really thought about it as like a conceptual, interesting approach to a book.
What'd you learn about yourself while writing this book?
Oh God, too many things. Yeah.
Take a sip of water, bro.
Yeah, I know. So I'm like, gotta go actually. What time is this interview done? No, I mean, I wrote it in like a really emotional, 16 months of my life. I was going through like a huge breakup. I was going through kind of a depressive period that I realized that I had depression previous, but it was only until this period that I realized that it was depression and not sadness. So it was a really like up and down time.
What was the difference between normal sadness and depression?
Well, it was more that I realized that, because I was diagnosed. So I realized that I had been through this before, and that it wasn't just like a one-time thing. I was like, oh, I've experienced this before. I've experienced this in freshman year in college when I was deeply in the closet and just like really sad, or what I thought was really sad at the time. But it was more than that. It followed you kind of like a shadow versus just you know, like being sad and then getting
over
it.
Yeah,
no. It was kind of a thing that happened for extended periods of time. When it would hit for like a month.
When you were a freshman and you were hiding your sexuality at the time,
yeah.
What lengths did you go to?
God, I mean, dating girls, that was a huge, like...
I mean, that's a big
faking
one.
Faking it, yeah, faking it. No, yeah, I mean,
you faked it?
Not even really faked it. I mean, because have you heard of the Kinsley Scale? Is it the Kinsley Scale? Correct? I think that's the name of it.
No, educate me.
I think it's the Kinsley Scale. I don't know why I haven't talked about it.
Somebody Google it.
So it's the scale of sexuality. One being heterosexual, and then a 6 being homosexual, and a 3 being bisexual. And it kind of shows where you fall on the scale. So some people who identify as homosexual can be like, it's a fictional scale. Like, it's not a real thing, but okay. You can be like, I identify as a 5 because I definitely could see I would enjoy making out with a girl.
Okay.
You know,
understood.
What I mean?
Got it.
Yeah, yeah. Or versus someone who's a 6 is like, no, I don't want anything to do with girls. If they're a gay man. I was like, there are so many different things I'm going for here.
And you realize this scale, where were you?
I still think I'm like a 5. Like, if I made out with a girl, I would thoroughly enjoy it. But do I want to be in a relationship with a girl? No. So it wasn't faking it in that sense. I definitely enjoyed relationships with girls, but it was after a while I realized that there's no way this could be permanent.
It couldn't be real.
I was lying to myself. I was hiding it. So like that gets to you after a while, because it's almost like the more you do it, the more you're hoping that you'll trick yourself into thinking you're something you're not. So in my case, straight, I was just like, the more I do it, the more I'll figure out that I actually am straight and I like girls. And then if you fail at it and you realize you break up with a girl and you realize you're not straight, then it kind of hits you really hard because you get sad about it. It's a secret that you've been keeping for so long. Does this make any sense?
No, I'm processing all of it.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
It's
like you're building yourself up to wanting something that you don't know why you want it, in my case being straight. And then when you fail at it,
it hits you even harder.
Yeah.
Because you had your sights set on something.
Yeah, and
there was a goal there.
Yeah. I mean, like, and of course, in hindsight, I'm like, I would never want to be straight. Gross. No offense to anybody in
What's
here.
Wrong with being straight?
There's a long list, yeah?
Yeah, there is a long list. No, I'm kidding. I just personally, I'm like, I love being gay. So it was just a thing at the time, I think, going through it. And I love that look in hindsight. And that's kind of why I like my first book a lot, because it was during the heat of that. I started writing it like 6 months after I came out publicly. So it was a really influential time in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, a hot moment.
Very, yeah.
A lot of shit going on.
Mm. So when you were young and growing up, would you like watch cartoons and wonder why you thought the male cartoons were hotter?
I've only thought about this recently, to be honest. It's more that I was like, I'm sexually attracted to cartoons. That's what I thought about recently.
Which is a real thing, by the way.
It is.
It ruined my friend Paul's life.
What?
Yeah.
Elaborate a little bit.
A little early on in life, he was obsessed and in love with anime cartoons.
Yes.
And like, that's all he was into. And, you know, he would to it and whatever, and he's at that time when you're young, his name was Paul.
Paul, I need to meet Paul.
I don't know. At that time, you know, you're figuring it out, and you're impressionable,
yeah.
Even more impressionable than you are at 18, pretty much.
100%, yeah.
So he's to these girls, and like the standards are so high in the cartoon world,
yeah.
That like when it's time to perform around a real woman, and you realize it's not an anime Japanese chick,
yeah.
With these perfectly glossy boobies, it's hard to perform.
Glossy boobies, love that.
But yeah,
that's,
cartoon sexuality hurt him.
No, I get you.
Anyway,
I mean, that's a whole. Yeah, I was like, that's a whole problem with apparently porn and psychology.
That's
psychological issue. I don't, either way, or that's what they say. There have been a lot of studies for that. Not that I think it's a problem, but
if you're gonna love cartoons, love cartoons.
Go
anyway,
for it.
Did you
love
find
anything.
Any sexy?
Love that pillow. Love this couch.
You can love it. Any. I mean, you're right. A lot. You could love physically anything.
There's a couple things maybe you shouldn't. But you know.
cars, don't do that.
Where were we?
Oh, you were talking about cartoons and the males.
Oh, yes. No, me just realizing I was attracted to this couch.
That's right.
Thank God. I realized it kind of recently that there were moments, not even just like cartoons, but more so characters in television shows, even friends that I had, that I thought I liked them because I thought they were really cool. And I was like, oh, they're really cool. I want to be their friends. I was like, yeah, they're not really cool. I want to date them. I want to kiss them. I want more than that. And I didn't realize it until now that was, I guess, something I just repressed or whatever. But now I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, how'd you get
there's
back?
There's so many.
Back to that? Because I've had those moments, right, where
you just have, like, epiphanies.
Yeah, you look back and you analyze for a second. And you're like, oh, wow, that's what that really meant. Or I actually should have done this there. Hey, regardless.
Yeah. Or just I see some like YouTube video where someone was like, yeah, I was totally sexually attracted to who's like a hot cartoon, male cartoon.
Hercules?
Archer.
Hercules. I was totally.
Did you say Arthur?
Archer. Arthur the Aardvark is not sexually attracted.
What about the fox and Robin Hood? I used to think he was so hot.
I thought he was more adorable than hot.
No, I thought he was hot. The fox and Robin Hood?
Yeah,
are we thinking of the same one?
Yeah. But I'm thinking about Peter Pan. They wore the same outfit, kind of.
No, I was thinking, yeah, like the
Peter
male.
Pan was pretty hot.
I was like, can you guys flash things on the screen?
just behind you?
I was like, the fox, put him right here. Jesus Christ. It all comes out on Zach's show.
Yeah, thank you for coming in, by the way.
Yeah, no problem.
Much appreciated.
No problem.
What were we talking about? You're into the cartoon, you're into the fox.
Into the fox.
We've talked about a lot of things.
I mean, you are going on tour now with the book. You're going on tour soon, right?
I am, yeah. I just announced that recently. So I'm doing something a little bit. I'm doing what I did for the last book, like a traditional signing tour where I go to cities and I sign books, but then I also take photos with people. So it's all based around just signing books. But then I'm also doing
another level type deal here.
Yeah, like a bus tour. I kind of wanted to do something different. So I'm doing a bus tour to 18 different cities, but it's the kind of unique part of it is that I'm turning the book into an installation, a physical installation. So we rented a semi-truck, and I have a company that's not cutting it up literally, but it's putting three rooms inside of it, and people will walk into the semi-truck through room 1, 2, 3, and then walk out, and each one kind of depicts a different portion of the book, and they have like images from the book, sounds that I describe in the book. It's interesting. It's kind of a unique thing. So it's a traveling art exhibit that people will go through when they go on the tour.
It's so not anything Dan would ever go see.
That's not true. I went to art school. I like this type of stuff.
But I've seen the renderings, which you showcased the renderings, right? Or no?
I have. Maybe they were in an email or something.
Oh, I've seen them.
Okay, they're cool.
Amazing.
Yeah.
There's never been a book tour like this.
Yeah.
I think you're downplaying it a little bit here. I got to sell this thing for you.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to explain. So like the first room depicts kind of the... It depicts kind of a sense of fantasy, happiness, lightness, and there's going to be, I can't even describe what's in the room because I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but it's going to be, there are going to be images from it, very bright, very floral, like actual scents in the room. The second one's going to be more of like a dark, depressive period with interesting lighting and interesting vocals and sounds. And then the last one is kind of like a rebirthing moment, and it's going to be very infinite feeling. I'm trying to describe this without because I don't want to ruin it for anyone. I want everyone to go into it not knowing what they're going to experience.
So it's like an art show on wheels.
Yes.
But do you need to read the book to understand?
No.
Okay.
Yes.
Is it reflective of you?
It is in many ways, but also like metaphorically in a way, because I wanted it to be like a lot of the things I do. I want it to be something that anyone can enjoy, whether they know me or not. So this book, a lot of the stories are personal, but it's never like, remember YouTube 2016? The month was August. Like, it's nothing like that. You can pick it up and you'd maybe relate just to the stories and the words behind, you know what I mean?
But what are the three rooms in the semi? Like, what do they represent? I mean, they're all like, I mean, florals and darkness and rebirth. Is that you? Is that you coming to terms with becoming a new version of you? Or... learning from yourself and then, you know, being, yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
You're killing it. Yes.
Got it.
Nail right on the head. Back to carpentering. Nail on the head. Yeah. You nailed that.
Full circle.
Full circle moment. There's a chapter called Full Circle. It kind of is. It definitely is that. It's very broad, but there are like actual visuals from the book will be in the trailer. Actual scenes described will be in the trailer. My voice will be in the trailer again. So it brings the book to life in the most vague way possible because it is only a 10-minute experience.
What started this book and what started like this emotional journey you went on to write it? Was it your breakup?
It was before that though, because so a lot of the photographs were actually from they started in August 2015 because I like to take photos and I kind of keep them. I don't post a lot of them online, although I do post a lot.
A ton.
Yeah.
But they're beautiful. I can only imagine what's left.
Thank you. Yeah. And those are none of those have really been posted. So I started there and then I just started kind of really getting into poetry over the past around that time as well. So that's kind of where it all started. And then once other things happened in my life, that's where it kind of really, really became cathartic to me. And I started doing it more out of necessity.
Okay.
For my well-being
in
a weird
way.
Your
mental health.
But totally unintentionally. It was never like, I need to write poetry to not be sad. It just so happened that that's how I dealt with things.
So why poetry? Like, what struck in you that you're like, okay, these are ideas I have in my head and I'm going to take it to paper?
I don't know. I think one thing I enjoy about poetry is that it requires more thought than just writing down an essay. Because there's a lot of wordplay in mine, a lot of alliteration and internal rhyme. So it requires you to tell a story in a concise way, but also in a creative way. It just takes longer, if that makes sense. I don't know. I mean, I'm like, why do you like radio?
No, it makes sense.
I don't know. It's fun to me. It's challenging. And it's interesting to tell something, not necessarily a story, to set a scene or a sentence and to say it in a way that no one's ever said it before.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, 100%.
The best way I always describe it is, so Lorde's first album, I adore that girl because of her way of describing things. And the one line that comes to mind is the veins of my city. The way she said the veins of my city, and that's just her referring to streets. And that, for some reason, ever since I've heard that lyric and then the rest of her music, I've seen or I've listened to music in a different way and I've read literature in a different way.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
And once you said Veins of the City, I literally visualized, like the visual in my head was immediate.
Yeah.
You know, it was weird. It was,
It makes sense to anyone who hears it, but it's just a different way of saying it. No one would say that out loud, I guess, yeah. Or the typical person wouldn't. So, yeah, I find it fun to try and capture that tone in poetry.
Did you become a better person after your breakup?
I think so. I don't know about a better person. I think I became a different person. Because you learn to go through life in a different way, I guess. You learn to grow up, you learn to be an individual, you learn how to handle deeply emotional experiences. You kind of find yourself in a different way. I don't know, it's almost like you're like leveling up as a person.
Yeah.
Very much growing up quickly, whether you want it or not, if that makes sense.
And most of the time it's kind of necessary to move on.
Like, I think,
right?
Yeah, in hindsight, things like that are totally necessary. I get why all music is about love and breakups. Like, I get why, because it's no one can quite capture it right, because it's different for every person. Everyone, like, has experienced it, but everyone has experienced it in a different way.
I get it. Different, but the same at the same time.
Mm-hmm. So it's relatable, but each experience is different.
You love music.
I do.
You have
really
a label.
Really love music. I do. Really?
Like, yeah. He has a label. Hello.
It's an alternative label.
It's explained. I've heard it be explained to me many times.
Yes.
You explain how your label functions.
Yes. So the label functions as a way to connect social influencers with up and coming musicians. One of the things that I enjoy is, or I think that a lot of people enjoy, is finding a song that no one else has heard before.
Mm-hmm.
And me having a platform, usually when I find a song that no one else has heard before, I want everyone else to hear it. So I'll tweet about it. So we kind of came up, me, my manager and one of our friends, came up with this concept for a record label that would be connecting social influencers with up and coming musicians. What up and coming musicians need? They need a platform. We'll give them that platform. So we have social influencers kind of compiling songs on a compilation and then pitching it to their audience, because they're usually, YouTube audiences and social audiences just want to connect. And what a better way to connect than music.
100%.
Yeah.
And
then
it's
hopefully
great music too.
Yeah. I think it's the best. I mean, it's something I would do anyway. So why not do it this way, I guess?
Share a playlist.
Yeah. And also, it can totally spin into a traditional record label. I mean, we are partnered with Sony Red now, so we have a lot of funding through them. So
cool.
We have 3-4 employees now. Like, it's
wow.
it's become a business. It's kind of awesome. Yeah.
Are you gonna start singing soon, putting out music?
No, I'm good.
when was the first time you put on lipstick?
Lipstick. Oh my god. Are we gonna talk about this?
Yeah.
I'm on the cover of Gay Times magazine right now.
You look like a firefighter.
That's what I thought too when they did it. I was like, I look like a fighter, because they were also like greasing me up, and I'm like, this is so not me, but I have to do it because this is what they want. I was like,
sure.
I
have to be greased up.
I do. Like, they were like, you have to do a picture this way, and because it's like the magazine's theme. I was like, fine, but we'll also do some my way.
Whose choice was lipstick?
The lipstick was mine, but it was the more greasy fireman look that was not mine. the lipstick was fun. Every time I go into a photo shoot or anything that's kind of creatively, visually driven, I always tell, I'm like, do something I've never been done, do something that's never been done for me before. Push me, break gender barriers, make me wear makeup, make me wear a dress, whatever it is that like I haven't done before, make me do it, just because I think it's interesting to kind of push those boundaries for society, but also for me as a person. I think it makes me, after wearing lipstick for that shoot,
you learned something about yourself, right?
I felt so free. I made a video about it saying, like, I felt sexy and I felt confident. And I don't know, I think it was just because I did something I hadn't done before and I owned it and I wasn't afraid of it. And now I will never be afraid of it ever again.
You look good in it.
Thank you.
It was a good
so
look.
Much.
Is
Very
it something
nice.
That you want to start wearing more often?
No, see, and that was a, I don't, I mean, like I would, but it's, I don't think I would wear lipstick on a daily basis, but I definitely would wear it for certain things now. Cause now I know what it feels like now. And I know what I look like in it.
Was that the first time you put it on ever?
No, I think I had worn it once with, are you familiar with Zoe Sugg, Zoella on YouTube?
Okay. Yeah.
I think she put it on me once, I believe.
Oh, like as a, like a bit.
I think, yeah, if I remember right, me and a couple friends were at her place in, where she lives in England. And I think we all basically did drag that night. Like we all, she just like, she's a big beauty guru on YouTube. Okay. And I think she just put us all in drag and she found it really fun. And we all found it fun too.
What did Dad say about the lipstick?
I don't think my dad's commented on it yet. But at the same time, he's seen so many things. He's great. Yeah.
Man, you ever try walking in heels?
I have. It's so hard.
So
I have
difficult.
So much. I have so much respect. Yeah.
Have you, Dan? Have
well, you? I mean, you ever just like see a heel like your friends or your moms? And you just kind of try to slip it on and walk around.
No,
it's difficult.
It feels like on a balancing beam.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, I can get into heels. It's fun. I'm like, why not? I don't know. I was like, at the end of the day, it's a stilt. Like, why is it feminine?
Your Fashion Week look was very good.
Thank you so much.
The wide pants.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah, I've been so into like experimenting with fashion. It's been so fun. You, like my favorite part of my day.
You have a fashion line, a clothing line, Common Culture.
I do. Coincidentally, I tried on like 3 jackets before I got here. I was like, fine, I'll just wear the Common Culture one. I've been kind of experimenting in clothing and trying to, like, that's where my passion lies at the moment is in fashion and clothing and photography. So I've been kind of doing that with my brand, Common Culture.
Okay, so is that priority number one
at the moment?
With passion,
it's accidentally become priority number one. I think in my head, just because it's the most fun I have when I work.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like work. I get super when I got invited to go to the Calvin Klein show, I actually like was shaking with excitement.
Honor.
I thought it was so cool. It's awesome. What I met Raf Simons, who is the designer for Calvin Klein. I was like, I actually couldn't talk to him. I was so scared.
I mean, that's like a new territory for you.
Yeah,
You're
it is.
You're obviously nervous. Are you soaking in knowledge from those around you?
Yes, totally.
Trying to make friends?
Yes, definitely. And I find it, again, being fun. It's something that's fun to learn about. I wish that if I went to school right now, I think I would thoroughly enjoy learning fashion history and learning about the you know, past fashions, the periods of fashion, the past designers, even just art in general, because a lot of people are inspired by art for fashion.
You've said you were upset that you didn't finish college.
I am, but I'm not. Like, I wouldn't be where I am if I finished college, for sure. It would have taken up so much time because it's difficult.
Of course.
But it would have been nice to have a degree. It would have been nice to finish out my experience. I had so many friends in college. Like, I had to leave them behind to move out here. So that's I miss the experience more than, I guess, getting the diploma.
Would you say that was one of the hardest decisions you've ever made?
Yes, for sure. It was really, really difficult because it was a group decision. It was a family. Like, my parents were helping me pay for me through school. I had so many friends. Like, it was a group decision at the time. It wasn't just me that it was going to affect.
What do you think you need a degree for?
I don't...
That you haven't accomplished yet.
I think, I mean, if I wanted to get a degree, I think I could use it for many things. I think I would actually go back for something completely different than what I was going for, because I was going for a business and art degree, which, to be honest, you half the time don't really need
no.
for either of them. I would go back for something... I always ask this question. I actually want to propose it to you guys. If you could go back to school, no strings attached, it wouldn't... If it was just like a period in time... Like freeze time, go back to school, come back to the exact moment. No money, no time lost, nothing. What subject would you want to learn? What subject would you in present day wish you paid more attention to in school?
If I ended up going to college... And
it could be anything, by the way. It doesn't have to be science.
Well, if I would be... I would like to major in journalism, minor in political science.
Awesome.
Both combined and still end up here.
Awesome.
Hopefully.
Yes.
If that was the case.
That is the case, yes.
That'd be ideal.
Just like knowledge you wish you had right now.
Yeah, and also need, right?
Yes.
Because I'm at a place right now where if you look towards the future, maybe I do need a degree to achieve some of the goals that I want to hit, you know? What do you think?
Some foreign language.
Okay. You can say that.
I can't even, other than Ola, I can't speak anything. And like, I just feel like it'd be cool to be able to speak another language.
No, I get that.
So
I feel that.
I wish I paid attention in Spanish more.
Yeah, I still kind of retained a lot of my Spanish. I took, I think, 6 years of Spanish.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
High school?
I took 4 years in high school and 2 years in college.
Would you like talk to anybody in from high school ever?
High school, I have. Okay, so we have. By the way, I would learn history.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
I would learn history, and I don't know. I feel like history has become such an important part in today's society that I'm really annoyed at myself that I never took it seriously.
But, okay.
Or was never even presented as serious at the time by even the teachers or the professors.
100%. Because 99% of society and humanity forget history. They live in the now, and that's all they focus on.
Yes.
If more people took the time to study history, I don't think we'd be where we're at right now.
Yep.
Because anybody can look at the baseline of the last 150 years and understand what we f***ed up on and how to get better moving forward.
Yep.
Honestly.
I know. And I would just find it thoroughly interesting, not even U.S. history, but world history in general. And it's something that comes up on the daily, which I think people don't think it will, but it really, especially again in today's
right now,
and in 2017, it comes up every single day.
And the other thing too, people forget is that like American history is all that matters. Like, no, dude,
no,
you know, a majority of what actually happens and what has shaped society today, has happened outside of the United States.
That's the problem with America. We think we're the only ones that are important.
Literally, literally. Do you want to run for, like, government one day?
No, I could never.
Are you going to leave it to Tyler Oakley?
I'll leave it to Raymond Braun. Yeah, are you familiar with Raymond Braun?
Yeah.
Yeah, Raymond Braun for sure.
You don't think Tyler Oakley's going to run?
He might run for some form of, I think, local. I don't think he would ever go more than, not local, but like state. I don't think he would go outside of that. But I would vote for Tyler
for
sure.
State is pretty good, like senator, congressman.
No, it's amazing. I just don't think he would ever, like, Raymond, I want to run for president.
Okay.
He's one of the most intelligent, switched on people that I know.
I
would vote for him in a sec. I'd vote for him.
I don't know him as well, so I'm not going to endorse him. I'm going to check him out first. I would endorse Tyler Oakley, though.
Get me a pride flag.
Yeah. Are you guys even friends? Aren't you guys not friends?
It's so interesting. Tyler and I had a falling out for a literal, like, exactly year. And then we like became, and so yeah, we're friends now.
Okay,
yeah, we
cool.
had a falling out for like a year.
What was the falling out cause?
Oh, that's a story for another show.
Hey, moving forward in life, you realize how stupid some drama is.
It's so stupid. There's no point in it.
Are you competitive anymore?
I'm so f***ing competitive. I am so competitive. I am the most competitive. I'm so competitive that when I go to SoulCycle classes, not SoulCycle classes, are you familiar with Flywheel?
Yes.
No.
Flywheel is it's SoulCycle, but it has a speedometer and they put the speeds up on a TV screen. I'm the type of guy that when I go to those Flywheel classes, I want to f***ing win. Like, I want to beat everyone in that room, and I do.
Why?
I don't know.
I mean, you've achieved a lot.
A certain level of gratitude at 8 a.m. so that I can eat more later.
I mean, I guess. Or are you competing with those around you? You have nothing to prove to them.
This is true. I just want to win. I don't know why. I think it's because I was such a competitive kid because I was in so many athletic things that it's just literally in my roots to want to win for no reason. It's not like I win and I'm like, you. It's nothing like that. It's more just I win and I feel like satisfaction from it.
Were you forced to do sports when you were younger?
No, although it is a slight debate.
Okay.
Because when I was 10 or 11, I started swim team and I did that for 10 years. When I started, I was going through my husky phase, as my parents call it.
That's a nice way of putting it.
My husky phase.
My parents called me a fat ass.
Oh, shame.
Yeah, it's whatever.
Weren't we all? I wanted to make a club called the Former Fat Kids Club, but I think that's problematic now.
Yeah, well,
I think it's problematic. I was like, I take that back. I'm sorry. No, but I was husky growing up, and I had like twig siblings, like everyone. But for some reason, I was the one that had, you know, a little bit of weight issues growing up. And my mom put me in swim team, and I still to this day I'm like, you put me in there because you wanted me to lose weight. But she doesn't admit that. But also, it was the best decision of my life because my friends, going back to your question from like 10 minutes ago, the only friends I really talked to in high school are my swim team friends.
That's cool.
We were the carpool because we had we had to go over to Wisconsin from Minnesota for our swim team. So we would all get in a car and carpool over to swim practice every single day.
And you all wanted to win together.
Yeah.
And you needed each other to do it.
And we were all just like kind of weird outcasts.
On the swim team.
Yeah, it was very Breakfast Club.
See, the swim team on my at my school, they were cool kids. Like, they were the hottest people.
Oh, thank you so much. We didn't have a high school. I was like, thank you so much. You know, high school me is shivering. We didn't have a high school swim team. We were such a small high school, but we did the YMCA swim team.
Ah.
The YMCA.
Even, what's
even
good?
Even cooler. We were cool. I loved my swim team friends.
Were you a Speedo person? Like, you would do that?
I grew into wearing Speedos, I think, because I was so self-conscious. Because, like, when you have something you don't like about yourself, even after you get over that insecurity or fix that insecurity, mm-hmm. if you feel like it needs fixing, it still sticks with you for a really long time. I think I still am like weight conscious purely because it was something in my childhood. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get it.
Even if it's, you're just aware of it.
Well, so you were conscious of your weight in a Speedo, nothing else?
Not the bulge?
See, no. I'd be confident. Wow,
I don't know.
Somebody's confident.
I mean, who cares?
You know, Amber Rose once told us that small penises are just fine.
Aw, Amber. Was she in here before?
No, we met her somewhere else.
Like, did she sit here?
She said penis size doesn't matter.
She's like, you would know what that means.
Yeah, I don't want to. I'm going to end there.
I think it was just like a, because it's like the most exposed you can be wearing a Speedo, especially like a swim team Speedo, because they're so freaking tight. Mm. So tight. You
know, as somebody that puts their whole...
by the way?
As somebody that puts their whole entire life on the internet, you talk about everything. Why do you not like to publicly address who you're dating and what's going on and who you've dated?
That's the one. So not even just like relationships. It's more... I mean, it is relationships. So it's romantic and platonic relationships. I have grown over the past, because I've been on YouTube for 6 years. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been around the block for the internet. Mm. I just realized that those are things that it doesn't help to bring other people into relationships. Relationships are traditionally between two people. From like family and friend reasons, I'm like, they didn't ask for this lifestyle. They don't, you know, people on the internet are mean. I don't want them to like, you know, pick apart my family or something. I see it happen all the time. So I just decide, I'm like, keep that to myself. Like, I want to keep one thing to myself. It's relationships.
You deserve, yeah. You
whatever form they come in. Yeah.
So are the people you did collaboration videos with over the years fake friends?
No. I only collaborate on YouTube with people that I am friends with or like as individuals. Mostly usually have hung out with several times before.
Got it.
Yeah. I have people, you know, ask, or I've had people ask to collab at times, and I'm like, I don't know you. Like, I don't know what our chemistry will be. Mm-hmm. What if it goes really bad?
People do that. Like, that's a thing, though.
Oh, 100%. I mean, like,
how
it
you
happens.
Get famous.
Yeah, I mean, it happens in all industries too. People collab, and I mean, like, it happens again to reference the music industry. People who collab on songs, they don't even meet half the time. They like, yeah, they don't. It's not always a thing.
It's a business transaction.
Yeah, it's work as much as it's romanticized.
I'm gonna send you this track. You bring me back what you got. Maybe I'll give you some notes, or maybe you'll hear it on the radio in a couple.
Yeah, and like, that's just it, I guess.
What do you think of Instagram stars? People who do those, you know, videos and they do, you know, I don't know. I can't describe
Instagram
them.
Instagram
But you know what I'm talking
like,
about.
That was like how my mom describes Instagram stars. They do that. They, you know, they do the thing on the platform. They upload the photo.
But it, like, they do the videos like they think are relatable that everybody else goes through. Oh, you're attracted to that guy over there and not your boyfriend? I'm going to slap you.
It's so interesting to be totally transparent because Vine died. And Vine culture kind of got really gross after a while. It didn't start out that way, but it truly got like, after a while, it got really racist and homophobic mm-hmm. and on certain parts of Vine, on a lot of parts of Vine. And I feel like it's kind of trickling over, actually even more so than that, like misogynistic. It's trickling over into Instagram because of Instagram video. And I don't think I enjoy it that much. Half of the comedy I see on Instagram or in Instagram videos is not at all funny. In fact, half of it is very sexual, assaulty, misogynistic, judging people based upon their like. It's all really weird when you really watch some of those videos. I'm like, that's not okay.
It's not, and everybody looks like they're on cocaine.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
well, that's a different problem, honey.
They're just not. They're not funny. I agree with you on that. I watch
they're
a lot of these videos.
No.
And I'm like, oh, I must have missed something.
They're not funny at all.
The energy is.
Yeah, well, it's like I kind of get it. I mean, there's a market for everything, but when you really watch it, I'm like, how does this have like 10 million views? It's really bad.
And the people who vlog, because a lot of them do the same. You know, the Instagram stars are now the vloggers on the YouTube doing the 19, 28-minute videos.
The Instagram stars, the YouTube. Mom, get out.
Sorry. I'll excuse myself.
No, yeah. And like, that's fine. I mean, people have... People do their own thing. I can't. At the end of the day, I can't judge. I mean, I can actually judge when there's weird undertones like that. Like, that's not okay. Yeah. But content wise, like, go for it if it's not hurting anybody. But I think some of those are actually hurting people.
Note to self.
Wait, one more thing, quickly.
Oh, okay. Let me just tell everybody. Note to self is out April 18th.
Let's dish.
When you went out to brunch and you saw Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Oh, hell yeah.
How close? How would they smell like? What was your interaction? Did you say hi?
They were this close.
But really?
Really?
We were like, think restaurant tables. They were like maybe like less than a foot.
Where were you?
God, I don't even know. It was the first time I'd ever been to the place. It was in Brentwood.
Okay.
Some brunch place. I was really hungover, so I really didn't want to go to brunch. Such LA thing. But I really didn't. I was like, I just want to stay home and like sulk in sadness and wallow. just on my couch like,
Is that how you spend most Sundays?
Yeah, that's how I spend every day.
Oh.
Take the joke, I'm kidding. Jesus.
You seem so much more peachy.
That's my joke with my friends, by the way. That's like it's always like, Connor's sad. Like, that's our friend group joke. So it's become like a joke from 12 months ago. But, he sweats. So Beyonce and Jay-Z, I went to the brunch, thank God, and as soon as we got to the counter, the hostess was like, oh, aren't you guys lucky? We're like, what do you mean? She's like, you have the best seat in the whole house. You'll see in 10 minutes. So we sit down. Sure enough, 10 minutes later, we look at the door. Beyonce, Jay-Z, and Blue Ivy walk in and sit like 1 foot away from us. But I was trying my hardest to be respectful, not look at them that much, like obviously look at them when they came over, but not stare over, not eavesdrop, nothing, just... It was hard, but I was trying my best. It was fine.
Did you say something to her?
I think because I was hungover, I actually was like slightly numb to it.
Okay.
Dude, what if you were hungover and puked on Beyonce?
That'd be a great story. I would capitalize on it immediately. Make a video immediately. Million views. 10 million views. Revival.
Seriously, clickbait.
Biggest view.
No, I'd feel horrible.
Connor vomits on Beyonce and baby.
I'd feel horrible. They were so cute. Beyonce and Jay-Z, they were playing Heads Up with Blue Ivy, like silently in the corner. It was so precious.
Just like any other family.
Yeah. It was so cute. And that's why I didn't want to, I was like, they're just a family out to eat. I don't want to like stare. Because people were just staring.
You can't
mess with
that.
Kind of bad for them in a way.
Do you never want that? Or do you?
No. I mean, like, I love the level of notoriety I have at the moment. But to that level, it just kind of felt sad. And they really felt dehumanized in a way, like almost like animals in a zoo. People were just watching and taking photos sneakily. It was a little bit sad.
But there's a bubble. Like, I mean, I have a few friends who are like that, and they have a bubble. They've built a bubble, I think.
Yeah.
That try to make it and keep it normal as humanly possible. But
yeah, it's like, obviously there
it's,
are...
It's not
so
a
many,
zoo, dude.
Yeah, and there are so many upsides that you can't like look at it that way. That's just part of the gig. But the upsides are like, I have a voice in a generation that it's so rare to have a voice.
100%.
And that needs a voice. So that's the upside.
Do you feel like you utilize your voice?
I have more
correctly?
So in the last year and a half than ever before. I'm definitely way more politically aware and involved and engaged. And just for the LGBT community, I've tried to kind of voice as much as possible, whether it's my opinion or whether it's on a topic that involves the Trump administration. I just try to be involved or at least spread awareness.
And you do a good job.
Thank you.
A lot further we must go for the LGBTQ community and a lot of other people.
You can't even get the letters right. That could be the LGBTQ community.
I'm getting wrapped, dude. Connor Franta. A great honor.
You're so sweet.
Seriously.
I'm glad I was back. Can you believe 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Not the same place, but.
Right across the street.
Right across the street, yeah.
2 years ago. And we did you did a great interview with us. You
yeah,
were
it was
awesome.
Fun.
A lot of coffee talk.
Yeah, it was a lot of coffee talk.
Well, you had a coffee line coming out at that time.
Yeah,
I still
have the coffee line going.
It's still out there.
It's a monthly subscription service.
Jesus. Gosh. Look at you.
She works. She's a businesswoman.
Yeah. Mama's doing her thing. Note to self. It's Connor Franta's book, and he's going on this incredible book tour that is unlike anything else I've ever heard of or really able to experience, and I'm looking forward to going in Los Angeles.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to have you. It'll be so fun.
And it's seriously, it's something that's never been done before. It's an experiential event. It's all in a semi-truck. There's a keynote. There's a meet and greet. You get a book.
Yep. Go through a semi, hear me talk.
There's going to be some
fun stuff.
Sweet, cool. Common culture stuff.
Yes, there will be. I'm designing exclusive clothing for it.
Ooh. Tickets are on sale right now. The book comes out April 18th. Pre-order it. Thanks.
Woo-hoo.
Thanks, Connor.
Thanks for having me, guys.
This podcast is part of the Zach Sang Show Podcast Network.